everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to our everyday life. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now, here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
It's time to let the light in, let the light in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin, and I have Cher with me today.
I'm back because we had this really cool story and couldn't get it done in a day, and hopefully you guys give us grace. And I mean, we're trying to figure things out. I was thinking once a week, but, you know, yeah. We want to do this.
Well, the story just wouldn't allow for it. So.
I think waiting an entire week to get back to this might have been hard for you guys to keep up with. So we decided to do another day, but
that's awesome.
I'm back. Yay.
Yeah, we've been talking about the story of Jehoshaphat, and we read the whole thing yesterday, but I'm just going to recap us, get us into the story, because I really think we got a lot to talk about today still.
Such a good story.
With this story, so I want to make sure that we allocate time for that. But, you know, we were in Second Chronicles, if you wanted to go back and read it on your own.
Yeah, or listen to the day before. It's really
1 through 30, yep, or you can go and check out yesterday's program.
Right.
But, you know, overall, we basically have, Jehoshaphat's king. He's sitting there, and he's just having a regular everyday day. Then one day they come in and tell him, your enemies are coming. Mm-hmm. They're surrounding you.
Right.
There are three different nations of ites, you know, all the different ites. The ites are coming. And and so, you know, he could have been in fear. He could have freaked out. He could have done all these different things. But what did he do? He called his nation to fast and to worship the
That's
Lord.
Right.
And to, you know, just reach out through prayer and worship.
Right.
And that's what we've been kind of singling out is that, you know, whatever's coming against us in our lives, we want to keep an attitude of prayer and worship.
So we went to get this direction from the Lord. He knew he needed to, like, what do I do? Which we loved.
Sure.
And then the end of that, you know, he gets the direction. They go in obedience and do what the Lord tells them to do. And they win this. They not only win this, they never have to pick
up a sword. They never even have to fight. Yeah.
You know, God just destroys their enemies for them.
Because it was three different armies. So God literally turned them against each other and they all killed each other. Literally, they all killed each other. Like the last two guys both stabbed each other at the same time and fell down. I mean, it's as they literally didn't have to
they said, you know, no
lift
one was
a finger.
Left. And then for 3 to 4 days, they carried the plunder. So it's such a good story of God's faithfulness and Jehoshaphat's faithfulness. And so where we left off was about we were in the very beginning of this topic, but where we left off was the response that Jehoshaphat chose to do. We have a response, and that response was he could have gotten angry. He could have cried. He could have, you know, freaked out and got the army together and said, let's go, and then threw a little prayer in right before they hit the, you know, field.
I mean, I probably would have panicked for sure.
Just
but he didn't even panic.
He had an understanding, and it was so beautiful. But I want to tell you this story, and this might freak some people out, but this is a friend of mine, so this is a true story.
A true validated story.
Yes,
by
this isn't like
friends.
A friend of a friend that I heard this thing that happened to this one person. So this
real life
this
testimony.
Woman had a pretty rough upbringing, a couple other brothers and sisters, and they did not know the Lord, but she did, and she was really in a place of really struggling. She was trying to pay her bills. She was a single mother. You know, every day was people having to help her out. It was a very hard time of humility for her to have to get help from other people. Her job was barely paying any money, so you can kind of try to paint this picture that it was a really hard time in her life. And she's glancing over, and she's hearing, and she's talking to her brothers and sisters who don't know the Lord. They're out doing who knows what. I don't know the details. And they're doing great. Financially, they're doing very good. Everything looks good. And she got really angry.
Yeah.
She hung up the phone with the one sister, and she's thinking, I'm doing all the right things. You know, I'm doing all the right things.
Serving you, God.
I'm serving you. You know, and I get this part of it, but this is where she let her emotions, and she cried out, and this person doesn't cuss, but they started cussing out God. They just snapped. They were just to the brink of, And unfortunately, her response at this time was not good. So she was screaming at God and telling
she
him.
She had an emotional tirade.
It was not good. And in the middle of yelling at God, she went blind. She went blind. And I was like, what? She said she literally couldn't see. Like, and it stopped her in her tracks. Like, she said her eyesight went completely gone, and she fell on her knees, and it stopped her tirade. She, she stopped, fell on her knees, and began to repent and say, I'm so sorry, God. I'm so sorry, God. And she was like, what is happening to me? But I'm so sorry. I know it's not you. I'm frustrated, and I repent. And just like that, her eyesight came back.
Wow.
But for a minute, we have to be careful.
You don't want to pop an artery when you're getting mad at God.
But, you know, we don't fully know exactly what happened, but I know she was cussing out God and blaming him for her problems and her eyesight. She went blind for several minutes, repented.
That can be an attention getter.
That will definitely make you stop and say, what is going on? So my point is, let's not have that reaction. Yeah. I'm not saying that if you do, you're
blind. Exactly. But I think it's a very natural reinforcement to the idea that we were talking about, you know, in this story where we, you know, said Jehoshaphat could have gotten panicked. He could have felt angry. He could have gone into depression. He could have just taken off and run away. I mean, I think a lot of people do that, but you know, I would look at a lot of the different reactions that we can have in this situation.
Right.
One, for me, like another natural reaction that I would have been tempted to do if I was the king would be to trust in my army. To say, we are the you know, army of the living God, you know, like David when he went up against Goliath that we talked
God
about last week.
God will be with
you
us.
You come at me with us. I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he could have just said, my army will kill five to every one whatever. And that's in chapters, you know, well, it's in verse 17. 12 through 19.
Right.
But it tells us about, you know, his organization and his forces. He was equipped for war. They were a nation of war. They had been to battle before.
Right.
He could have just now materialized the army. We're going for it.
Now, you know, there were three countries. I guess, were they countries or cities? I don't know. But they're three armies.
They were nations.
They were armies, you know, that were coming after him. So it might have been a little more than what he wanted to deal with. He knew there would be a lot of slaughter.
Tens of thousands of
people would die.
People here, you know.
Right. So, but it's really cool. He put prayer first. He realized that he could do some things after he prayed, but really he could not do anything worthwhile before he prayed. And that's a key thing for us to remember, because prayer was his strongest weapon and he knew it.
Yeah.
So he resisted that temptation to panic and to be angry with God, to trust his army, to do anything. He recognized that there was a need, and the need was, I'm going to take this and go to prayer. I'm going to pray. So
I think
really
that
important.
When we, you know, we're in great need and we're facing something and we're going to prayer in that it really is a symbol of humbling ourselves.
100%.
Humbling ourselves before God, but in front of other people as well, and letting them know.
Right. Which, you know, we know this, Kevin, but we're going to share this, like, to understand the story even more. We have to understand that the political connotations of Jehoshaphat calling to prayer was very humiliating thing for him to do.
Could be seen as weakness even.
Exactly. So it's the strong person that's saying, I can't do this on my own. To the world, for you to say, I can't do this on my own, was a sign of weakness that he would admit, we've got to take this to prayer. It wasn't seen, you know, that he was the king of Judah, and in the ancient Near East, kings were very proud.
They were arrogant.
Yeah, they had an image to maintain. Leaders had to be tough, and they had to inspire confidence in their leadership. And he's admitting in front of all these people, okay, I'm a little afraid. we may be helpless against this enemy, or we might be in trouble. There's three armies coming at me.
It's not good politics.
Exactly.
It's not a good political approach.
Right. Well, we know
from
that
the world's perspective.
No one wants to see a weak person in power. Hello.
Right.
Just throw that out there. Anyway,
keep going.
But, you know, that's what Jehoshaphat did. He admitted his fear. He called for a national prayer meeting and then, you know, prayed in front of everyone about even how weak he felt. But surely it would have been better politically to pray, maybe in private, get a few people together, you know, okay, we've got a little problem, guys. Let me just bring in my little prayer warriors in the corner. But he decided.
Have a private vigil.
Yes, we're going to bring a few friends together.
East Wing.
Right. And then they could have done that and then gathered the army, you know. Mm-hmm. But there was such importance in front of everybody putting himself out there in his trust and his faith in the Lord to say, no, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to let everybody know that this is how you handle things. This is how we will handle our battles. This is how I'm handling Judah. Judah, rise up, come and pray. And it said the men, the women, the children, everybody came to pray, you know?
Yeah. Well, so, I think one of the greatest characteristics of humility is not leaning on our own self-esteem, not looking at our own attitude, our own pride. I think pride is always one of the greatest things. As we humble ourselves before God, I think God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And Jehoshaphat got grace in this because, you know, this biblical theme that we must humble ourselves before God, you know, it kind of runs counter culture to what the world's doing right now.
For sure.
And even then, it was a worldly approach, you know, and that's in the church.
Right. It is in the church, and it's this focus on, you just need to focus on yourself and build up your own self-esteem.
Right.
And it's, yes, you should have confidence in the Lord.
Right.
Not in yourself.
Yeah.
Because Jehoshaphat could have taken matters into himself, but he chose not to, and we should be more concerned about whether or not we have God's esteem.
No, we do need self-help, but we're not the solution.
Exactly.
You know
exactly.
what I mean? And I think the church has turned to that to some degree, Cher. So you're right. I agree with you.
Right.
We need to be very careful. You know, we should be so much more concerned about what God is saying.
Well,
you know?
Right. I mean, if we're self-sufficient and independent, then we're saying that we're not in need of God. We're robbing God of his glory to be our God, who is the one that gets the glory, you know. But when we recognize our great need, we humble ourselves in prayer, not just by ourselves, but with other Christians who can bear that burden with us, it changes things, and it did in this circumstance, you know. Once our need drives us to God in prayer, we have, you know, we need to understand how to pray. We need to be able to do those things. So it's just.
Well, I saw Jehoshaphat's prayer, you know, give us some important instruction on how to seek God in prayer in this moment.
Right.
You know, of this story. And I think it applies to today. We can take these stories, Cher. I think sometimes we just think we're reading a story in the Bible, but you got to read it from the approach of, I'm going to take the principles in this story and apply them to my life. I think that's kind of what we do as pastors,
right?
Is we take the stories out of the Bible and we take the principles out of those stories.
Sometimes.
And we teach people how to apply them to their lives.
Yes,
and,
I hope so.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, in prayer, we should not only seek answers to the problems, but we should not just be seeking for answers when we take our problems to the Lord. We should actually be seeking the Lord. There is a difference
in
your
so
heart
good.
Posture, right? And you want to say this? The verse 3, Jehoshaphat, it says he turned his attention, which means his face. His determined face to seek the Lord. And then it states that the people not only sought help from the Lord, but also that they sought the Lord. That's different. There's a difference.
Yeah.
When you come to the Lord and you're like, instead of saying, I need you to take this army and take my army and fire them up, Lord, and give them, you know, blah, 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 blah. And
we're almost kind of telling God
what
we want him to do for
us. I need you to fix this problem. And he just came to the Lord. Worship is a good example because he just worshiped. It just, if you're worshiping, you're not asking God to do specific things. You are honoring him, adoring him in a time of need, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was nothing new for Jehoshaphat. You know, he is described as a king who sought the God of his father.
Yeah, right.
And that Hebrew word means seek. he to trample underfoot, to beat a path to God because you frequent him so often. And that's the relationship we were talking about that he had. You know, it said that he focused on God himself. In the last three verses, that he gets around to mentioning the problem later, but even in mentioning the problem, he keeps saying, God, you were prominent. Like, God was first. He even, it's like almost like having to set that problem down when you're really wanting to just blast God about it and saying,
I need to just spend some time with you for a minute.
I love you. I want to tell you again how much I love you and how much I know that
I want to connect with you.
And I just want to worship and glorify that you are my God.
Sure.
And no matter what, if you can get into that mindset, no matter what would have happened, they would have stayed solid.
Yeah.
That God would have been with
them. I always think of people, and I've got a good friend of mine who's actually faced cancer in his life.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I see that immediate, like, well, here's what the world's telling me I have to do. Here's my own reasoning telling me what I have to do. And and I've watched all of those dynamics come into play in this person's
emotions
life and the emotions and the fear and the anxiety and all of that. But then I've watched them also grow and actually just spend some time with God, find their peace in him. You know, the Bible says to cast our cares on him first, you know.
Right.
So I love this idea that Jehoshaphat's prayer started with him just wanting
adoring
to, I need to reconnect with God himself.
Right.
If I'm going to fight this battle, I need to reaffirm my relationship with God first.
Right, exactly. It's that relationship before a crisis. And I'm not saying that God won't be with you in a crisis if you don't have a relationship. You need to start. But it's an understanding of who you are in Christ, what you mean to him, and how valuable you are and how important, you know. And in a crisis, we aren't supposed to just run and get God off the shelf like he's an Aladdin genie. What are those things called? Like those little lamps. You know, and we rub the lamp and we get what we want and then we put it back on the shelf for the next crisis, you know. It's this trials that should cause us to seek God himself, like go to know who he is, because you realize that you can't and do not, you can't and nor you won't do anything without him.
Sure. I mean, God's got to be our abundance. He's got to be our way of life.
Yes.
It's got to be our relationship. And then, you know, we have God and we cling to him in those moments.
Right.
You know, Jesus said, in the world you're going to have trouble. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So the goal is to be in Christ when the trouble comes so that you can overcome it.
Yes,
and,
right.
You know, and then we are delivered from our crisis. You know, we still have to go through it, but God walks through it with us.
Right.
You know, even through a crisis like your health, your job, you know, God is our friend. He's got to be our friend first. And and then he can be our deliverer. Then he can be our healer.
Amen.
But we need Jesus, our friend, God the Father, our friend, the Holy
Dad.
Spirit, our friend,
right,
to be the person that is there with us in the midst of it. And then he's going to go, well, I got you. Relax.
Right.
It's going to be okay.
And not that we could even remotely compare the love that we have for one another with the kind of love that God gives us and how he loves us. But if you try to think about someone who is someone that you love dearly, you would do anything for that person. You know their heart, they're a good person, and you would fight for them. You want them to come to you.
Yeah.
You want them to tell you what's going on so you can help them and fight for them and stand by their side. God's love for us is no more not even remotely close of the love that we would have for one another, and that can be very strong, but God's is way above that.
Way more.
So
He is love.
He is love. So we have to understand how much He loves us and who we are. He created us to have this relationship with Him, and it's so important that we understand this and we break this down for you.
God wants us to go to Him when we have times of trouble, just as much as, you know, I have people in my congregation that they have things going on in their life, and then we find out weeks later about it as the pastor. It's like, call your pastor so he can pray, so he can be with you in these moments.
Right.
Don't wait until it's past and then go, where was my pastor? You know, if he does, and
people,
God's a lot of times saying the same thing.
Exactly.
Where are you? Didn't even come to me in this.
You just responded to
you
it.
You just
in the
ran
motions.
With everything else, yeah,
right.
through the emotional turmoil of it all.
But
so.
It's got to be an autopilot thing that you learn in ahead of time, so
yes.
that when you get in the crisis, you're able to do this automatically.
Yeah, that's called a predetermined response. We're going to take a quick break and come right back and talk about it.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the fellowship hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. All right, everybody, we're back. Want to just say thanks so much for tuning into the program, and thanks to all of our sponsors as well. We really appreciate you guys. But we talked right before the end of the break, or right before the break, about a predetermined response, Cher.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think it's important that we have a predetermined motive, a predetermined answer for a lot of the things that are coming at us in life.
That's right.
When I get sick, I have a predetermined response that Jesus is my healer, and I'm going to go to God and seek that relationship that we've been talking about, and call on the Lord for
exactly.
the answer to
right.
overcome that.
Absolutely.
Because my response is to go to God.
Right. So Jehoshaphat, it said he, I don't remember the word, but it was that he, like, the ground was worn out from him
yes.
constantly going to the Lord. So when we make it our, when we take things that...
It was the Hebrew word for seek.
Seek.
Yes.
Yeah, so we take the things that in the natural, and we make our natural response supernatural every time.
Yes.
We decide that everything, the predetermined is that everything, anything, I'm going to take it to the Lord.
Right.
I'm always going to count on Him. He is going to be the one that helps me through this.
Sure.
I will not do this on my own. My natural response will be supernatural every time, no matter what it is.
Yeah. Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. So I think that that's really a great...
Pray without ceasing. That's another scripture. You know, we could drill. We have really... We could go
hundreds.
Well, we have really drilled down into the scripture, but this is how, you know, when we learned this year about different ways to study the word, you know, and this is what we're doing. We're taking a story and we're breaking it down in these bite-sized verses, and we're tearing it down and applying it to our life through responses and decisions. And so we hope that this has been encouraging to you. I think we're going to keep going.
Yeah, it's relationship before crisis.
Exactly. So
that's what we're talking about right now.
Have that relationship. And if you don't, then you need to start now, and it's okay. Start now.
Yeah. Build that relationship today.
Right.
You know, take a moment. Get into your prayer closet. Yeah, maybe you got to brush the dust or the cobwebs off your Bible. Pick it up. Start reading it again. Get into prayer. Just start talking to God like he's right there with you. I did that. You know, I'll pretend he's sitting in the front seat of my car and start talking to him, you know. Yeah. And he actually starts in my heart. He'll start talking back to me. So begin to seek God's relationship before the crisis.
You need
another lesson from the story of Jehoshaphat.
It's so true. Learn how much the Lord loves you. Like, let him love you. That's what I would tell you to do.
Amen. So, hey, we hope you guys enjoyed the program. We'll see you again tomorrow. We're going to wrap this up.
Yes, sounds good.
When I'm down, you are up for me. When I frown, you have a smile for me. And when I'm weak, you are strong for me. You are there for me. You're always there for me. When I fall, you will catch me. When I call, you're quick to answer me. And when I weep, you will weep with me. You are there for me. You're always there for me.
Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.